for the purposes of interviews, state your name and your address, date of birth, etc. I'm joking.
I'm Orla Gartland.
You, I suppose, came via introduction, as all things Irish happen, through a friend of mine, which is Ciarán, who knows a guy who plays guitar with you, who's Adam. Yeah. Is that always the case? How did you end up meeting Adam is the first question, and how does he know Ciarán?
Yeah, that's the kind of case with all Irish connections, isn't it? Especially, actually, it's an interesting one because I spent the last like month and a half in London doing some music stuff, and like every time I see an Irish person, you go, oh, do you know her? They could live on the other side of the country, and you'll always find at least one person that you know. Adam was a friend of a friend, and he'd just been playing sort of guitar, and he did some percussion for me, and he's great. Really, it really makes a huge difference because I'm kind of in the process of kind of getting bands together and, you know, sort of developing a sound and everything. So it's not quite at the band stage, you know, but I think one extra guitar really gives it a good lift, and he's perfect for that.
Speaking of London, you have a kind of a quirky-ish nature about you, if it's okay to say. And at the same token, you're very much remind me of one of my sisters, who three of them have red hair, and you're quite Irish and quaint and precise. And then I flick onto YouTube and I see you randomly playing guitar on a bus upstairs, and I thought, how Irish, you know, when you're that far away from home. Is there a real Irish sense about you? Do you do that stereotypical river dancey kind of thing? Do Americans stop you in the street and say, you know, is your name Roisin?
I used to do Irish dancing, and I used to play the fiddle, and I really like Irish, so I actually I tick a few boxes in terms of stereotypical things. It's been really good, and I think going away and coming back makes you probably a bit more Irish, because you have people over there saying, well, I can't understand you, especially in London, they're kind of like, well, I can't understand you, and you kind of, I don't know, you end up kind of either stripping your Irishness back or really upping it. And I probably have kind of, without noticing, have upped it a little bit. Because you do, I get very, you know, proud of your roots and stuff. And it's good fun. It's a good to be different, especially when you're in London, which is a sea of people. It's quite nice to have, you know, a bit of a weird accent or a bit of a weird characteristic about you. So definitely very proud of it. Definitely proud of me.
I reviewed an Irish band on Kulch.ie some time ago, and they were, how would I describe it, almost a cross between death metal, I jest, and Irish music. And I think in my notes on their EP, I referenced that you would not find them next to Daniel O'Donnell in the CD collection. Where would you fit yours?
Oh, good one. As influence-wise, as you know, musicians go, I would say Regina Spektor would be a huge influence. There's another London musician called Imogen Heap. So it's all this kind of like quirky, I mean, it's singer-songwriter, but I mean, you know, especially one thing, not that I'm trying to get away from as such, but one thing that I'm trying to like experiment a little bit with further, you know, I've done the kind of acoustic singer-songwriter thing, and that's what I do live. I play acoustic guitar, and you kind of, people almost assume that you play folk music, and it, you know, when you're playing acoustic guitar, which isn't necessarily the sense, you know, with me. I mean, I listen to a lot of folk music and I love it, but it's, you know, the music that I play and write is much more kind of left field pop, I guess. So I guess, yeah, I'd say Regina Spektor would be a big one. But then on the folky end of things, there's a musician called Laura Marling, who I really like. So yeah, but definitely still kind of figuring it out as well.
Is there a bit in between all of this where you found that people have kind of put you into a little box already? Is it a case of that once you do that you try and make your own way back out of it? I mean, and you referenced the experimentation bit and forming the band together. I mean, how would you describe what you're doing now in a music sense, and where do you see it, or do you have a picture of where it'll be, let's say, this time next year?
Yeah, the really kind of thing that I'm really thankful for, actually, you know, I've released a single, I remember, about a year and a bit ago, and it was kind of the first thing I ever released, and it kind of made me feel like a real musician. And then after, I was going to follow that up with an EP, and then I went to the sixth year, and I was like kind of a bit of a nerd with school, and I didn't, you know, decided I wasn't going to do it, even though it will be a long time between releases, which is kind of a risky move. But now, since kind of the last thing, my sort of outlook on where I see myself going direction wise has changed so kind of dramatically that I'm so thankful that I didn't put something out, because I think it's kind of in my head sort of a bit of a clean slate. Like, I'm still very much grounded in the singer-songwriter kind of guitar based things, but I mean, you know, I recorded an EP I just finished like last week. That was kind of the main reason I was in London, and it was kind of, you know, we were experimenting with like you know, like beats and not big, massive, heavy things, but really kind of sort of dainty, rinky-tinky sounds. You've got like pads and little synths, everything very subtle, not overkill, but like, you know, kind of pushing a little bit further and kind of, yeah, because I think there's a lot, you know, I've actually a lot of friends doing the kind of singer-songwriter thing, and it's great to be compared to them, but, you know, you want to stand out a little bit, and, you know, so I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
What age are you now? Is that okay to ask?
I'd say I'm 18.
Was there a bit in between all of this? Because I'm gathering you haven't just started doing this last year, just to put in context. Was there a bit in between this where it was mom and dad were kind of downstairs going, oh no, Aurel is at this thing. She still wants to be an artist. Oh no, she's going to go on the road. She'll end up playing with the Rolling Stones. Keith Richards will take her under her wings. She'll end up doing drugs, rock and roll. Oh my God, she's at Independence Camp. And what, you know, what's happening here?
The Rolling Stones would be cool though. They're really, really good about it. I'm the oldest kid. So I kind of thought, well, me kind of, you know, heading up to London and kind of being really skint and just kind of having, you know, it is work, and, you know, I've been doing writing sessions, and a lot of it is quite 9 to 5, but a lot of it's kind of sporadic, and, you know, it's not exactly an office job. Even though I'm kind of, you know, in a full-time sense, I feel like I've really only started in the last month because, you know, I was in school, whatever. But no, they're very good about it. Like, my dad's kind of proud as punch, and I did like a mini tour a couple of weeks ago and came to like 5 dates in UK and Ireland. And like, my dad came to a few of them and was like being just so embarrassing. Like, people would be kind of just like, you know, just queuing up after just to have a chat. And he would be going around the queue, be like, I'm Orla's dad. Does anyone want a picture of me? And I was like, Dad, no, I'm trying to do my things. So, I mean, no, they're very good about it. But they're kind of, yeah, they're scared by it, which isn't like an unusual thing, I don't think. I think I'm scared by it as well. Not necessarily my music, but like music as a job and, you know, as an industry is massively threatening. So, I mean, that would be their main concern. But, I mean, in terms of me kind of heading out, I'm okay looking after myself. So I think it'll be okay, hopefully.
You've had the first single come out, as you said. The EP is out.
It's not out yet. It's just recorded. So that's hoping to be out in about October. So that's all recorded, 4 tracks, which, yeah, I'm massively excited about it.
Is there a series of milestones in Aurel's head? I mean, you know, the big thing for me was when I started playing guitar was to, okay, I can play GCD. Okay, that's great. Okay, can I play Brown Eyed Girl? Crap, it needs E minor. Oh, sugar. Yeah. Okay, right, I'm back to the Buddy Holly stuff all over again. Just be able to put one or two tunes together. And then you kind of start, you progress and you start doing different stuff and you learn how to play. I think the first song I ever taught myself was Paint It Black. Again, Rolling Stones reference. But is there a bit in your career where it's, okay, single, 5 dates, a little bit of a tour, EP. What's the next bit? Obviously, album is going to be on the horizon. And is there a bit in it where you kind of look back and kind of go, oh God, I can't believe I did that YouTube video. Do you get that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I've kind of done the YouTube thing for a while and it's kind of, it's been really bittersweet because it's been an amazing tool for me personally, because, you know, what else could I do? Just being in my room and, you know, being in school, and that was it. And I wasn't able to necessarily gig anywhere outside of Dublin. So to be able to have this tool, like, and you can just, you know, it is, you know, people almost, I don't think, give it really credit for how amazing it is that you can upload your own song or a cover from your bedroom. You could get instant feedback from like all over the world. It's just, you know, it's really mind blowing. But at the same time, the kind of downside that I've experienced, and it's happened to kind of people I know, is that it can become a bit of a bad stigma, and people kind of think, oh, you're a YouTube artist, and, you know, that I won't necessarily take you seriously, that you're not a real musician or whatever. When, you know, I suppose now it's kind of a case of, you know, now that I have time to go out and do like a much more well-rounded, you know, play festivals, play gigs, support people on tour, do writing, you know, and be in a studio environment and everything, the kind of well-rounded other aspects of being a musician that isn't just making videos. I think, you know, I think hopefully I can kind of, you know, over the next few months really push that to people and kind of say, well, you know, I'm really serious about this. But there's definitely like videos I've regretted and stuck on private from the earlier days. They'll never rear their ugly head again.
We're at Independence. Your set is obviously going on this evening, and by the time this airs, it'll be a bit late. What can people expect from this evening?
A mix of kind of older stuff, I suppose, and then also kind of the new stuff from the EP, which is exciting. I love playing the new stuff. It's great practice, but, you know, scary because, you know, people don't know it or whatever. So, yeah, it'll be a mix of new and old.
in between all of this, I know I spoke to Steve from Codeline earlier on. He spoke very highly of you. He also spoke very highly of Adam. I think, you know, grand and cool were the two words that he uses regularly, and he used both of them for you. So I'm gathering that's a very good thing. Did he come up and ask, could he get his photograph taken with you? Were you mildly embarrassed? Who's the biggest artist ever to come up to you and say, can I have my photograph taken with you?
I was trying to think. I mean, I didn't even see Steve this weekend, actually. They were camping in our camping site last night, but I didn't see them. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure about the biggest. I mean, yeah, Steve is great. And, you know, when he kind of knew my music, that was great. One thing that was really bizarre, there's a girl called Lucy Rose, who's kind of, yeah, singer-songwriter from the UK. I went to her gig like a couple weeks ago. I went by myself. No one else knew her. That I knew, and there I was kind of queuing up after, and I was getting my poster like everyone else, and she's asking people, oh, what's your first name, and she'll write a little message to them, and I was there trembling, so nervous, like proper starstruck, just love her. And I handed her my poster and she just wrote Two Oil, and I was like, I never really told you my name. And she was like, oh, I know your music, I was just trying to freak you out. And I was like, holy god, I was so like chuffed. That was amazing for me, mainly because I was on my own and just kind of shaking and being really dorky about it. But that was really cool. Like, yeah, things like that are amazing, and, you know, definitely something that you'd never really properly get used to.
I should also give a note of thanks to the people at Molson Canadian Beverages Beer Company for getting me in here, and so I could interview Orla. People want to find out more if they want to get in touch. I know you're on the Twitter and the Facebook and the website and stuff. Have you got all the addresses?
Yeah, I think for Facebook and Twitter, it's just facebookandtwitter.com/ Orla Gartland. And for YouTube, I have a strange, weird little username that I can't change. So if you just search my name in the YouTube box, it brings you right to it.
Excellent, Orla. Best of luck. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.